Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is so great to be with you guys today. It's Sunday, and we are in football season. There's actually football on with, you know, the Hall of Fame game. I get it. This is, you know, it's still preseason, training camp, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. 49ers football is happening. NFL football is taking place. Now, probably good news for the 49ers. Today's their day off and their new kind of installment, 2 days on, jog through, one hard day, one day off. Today is the day off. So for the next 2 days, we'll have practice reports and incoming news and highlights and press conferences and all those things. But for today, the players get the day off. I know that the coaches are up there working and they're going to spend some time with select media, and we'll get some tidbits out of that. Pretty excited about that, actually. A little bit more peek behind the curtain of some rotational pieces, things like that. But for us, today is a milestone. We are finishing our 49ers roster countdown that started 2 months ago. It is just an incredible work of passion. It's a lot. I mean, shoot, we changed the way in which we do it, where we do five players instead of one individual episode. And what I would do in the past, you know, the past five seasons, is I would record one individual episode about each person offline, then load it up. And the process was just a little too much. And with, you know, moving the kiddo out this year, us moving our location, 20th anniversary, all different things, we tried to simplify it as best we can. And I think everybody agrees this is by far the best way that we have done it so far. So today will be the final four players. We have number four through number one. So as we get started and you guys join us, I want you to put in the chat, rank one, two, three, four. One most important, and this year only. Okay, now, let me just tell you the players that we have left, because, and I understand everybody's not going to be happy. The four players we have not covered in any particular order, okay? Nick Bosa, Brock Purdy, Fred Warner, Trent Williams. Those are the four players we're going to be discussing today. Little, you know, lacking the, if you've been following along with us, you would know this. But if you join us for the first time, that's okay. We're looking at most impactful player for the 49ers 2026 season alone. This isn't about long term. This isn't about, you know, what they've done in the past, even though that does factor into it. Which player is most important? We're going to disagree on some of these. That is okay. And for three of these players, we're going to dive into the Hall of Fame watch. Brock Purdy's way too early to do that, but Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Trent Williams, yeah, probably my favorite part of this, whenever we get to the elite of the elite, which I think the 49ers have seven potential future Hall of Famers. Maybe that number could grow. It doesn't mean all seven's going to get in, but like, how do you differentiate between seven potential Hall of Famers? That is difficult. And I understand, like, Nick Bosa gets the most pushback, and we'll talk about that. On yesterday's show, got some pushback as well. But man, start diving into the Pro Bowl or the Hall of Fame resume. It's Hall of Fame week. Shout out to Roger Craig. Can't shout that man out enough. Congratulations, number 33. And now we're 32 days away from the kickoff for the 49er season. Ricky Waters, baby. Ricky Running Waters. I just see those 94 throwbacks whenever I see 32. Oh, it's so beautiful. Shout out to Eric Meisner, who's crushing it on our social media everywhere. And follow us if you haven't already. If you're on social media, 49ers Rush Podcast everywhere, except for Twitter. On Twitter, at JL underscore Chapman. That Twitter handle kind of predates the 49ers Rush Podcast. But yeah, we're still live over there. We got, you know, a handful of followers. So go check us out. We use that for our 49ers content. I want to say thank you to everybody showing up on the hashtag CCs. V Malik in first today. He says, got to be Fred, right? We shall see. What's up, Notorious? Hashtag CC. We got Monkey in the chat. Appreciate you guys. All the Countdown crew coming in strong. Have to say thank you to NY Niners. That's Ben, Josh, 49ers Faithful 90, and Zach. They have helped produce this entire series. The amount of work that goes into this. Disagree with the rankings. Pretty hard to disagree with the research. And just all the stuff that they put out, man, you guys are the best of the best. Thank you, Ben. You are the best. Number one's got to be Brock, especially after last year, says Notorious. We shall see. Ooh, yeah, right here. Don't forget your taxes, chat. Again, I like my routine for the off season. I file an extension on my taxes every year. And once, you know, you've got free agency, then you've got the draft, then we've got our roster countdown series, and once I conclude that, then it's time to get to the taxes. We've got some in-laws coming to stay with us for the next week. I don't think I'm going to get it done during that time, but as soon as the in-laws are out of the domicile, then it's going to be taxes time, and I'm going to be a little bit more cranky than normal and whatever else. It always takes me a long time. But yeah, Ben right here, hoping to see Jerry Gray speak. Haven't yet, dude. I've met Jerry Gray a few times in person. He is awesome. Yeah, hopefully we get some clips or some sound bites or some quotes from that. Monkey, love the way, if approaching the countdown as, sorry, I can't read very well. It's great seeing everyone interact with the rankings. I do too. Cause in the past we've done this off air and then loaded everywhere, doing it live. We're going to do it live. We'll wrap it up and we'll do it live. Yeah, it's way better. Way, way better. What's up, Captain? Appreciate you, man. Ooh, Notorious says 4 Bosa, 3 Trent, 2 Warner, 1 Brock. Thomas, 1 Purdy, 2 Warner, 3 Williams, 4 Bosa. Oh, man. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. We are a football account. We are here to talk football. We ain't diving into all that stuff that's not football related. There are lots of places where you can do that. I don't want to do that. Appreciate you and your comments. Not doing that here. Notorious, I'd have Juice number one, but I'm not biased right now. Dude, love Juice. Love all these different variations of the top four. This is fun seeing it. Very, very fun seeing it. I like that you guys put all this up there. I'm not sure if we have a winner yet or not, but that's okay. It's not about winning or losing. It's about learning more about our favorite 49ers, the background, projections, all that different stuff. So let's dive in. It is time. Number 4 on the 49ers 2026 roster countdown, none other than Small Bear Nick Bosa comes in number 4, even though I would argue the second most premium position. He comes in number 4 for the 49ers this season. Now, you look at the history of the rankings on Nick Bosa's countdown. This is the lowest he's ever been. 2022, he was number 2. 2023, he was 1. 2024, he was number 3. Last year was number 2. This year, number 4. How much of that is coming off the ACL? Seems like he's way ahead of schedule. How much of that is the defensive end room looks to be in a little bit better shape, even though maybe not now current practicing. You have Mikael Williams, you have Keon White, you have Sam O, you draft Romello Height. A little bit better depth in there. Or how much of this is just, man, other players stepping up? Nick Bosa comes in 4. I personally had him ranked a little bit higher than this. But the way we do our composite rankings, we have 4 ballots that we submitted. And we ranked him out. Nick Bosa barely. And the top 4 were close. Like, understand this. Top 4 were very close. I would argue the top 6 were very, very close. And somebody's got to be, there's got to be a differentiated somewhere. Nick Bosa comes in number 4. Where's number 97? 6'4", 266. He's 28 years old. Will turn 29 around midseason. And a lot of people, you know, with Nick Bosa coming out in the 2019 draft class, don't realize, like, players used to come out a lot earlier. He's got a lot of football left. 28 years old currently. We got rookies that are 27. We got multiple rookies that are 25 plus. Nick Bosa's young, 28 years old. Played at Ohio State, goes by Smaller Bear, is kind of his nickname. Born and raised in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. That's where he still lives. Parents, Cheryl and John Bosa. Older brother, Joey Bosa. You know, the rumors every year, will Joey Bosa sign with the Niners? I never really been too big on that. Whenever the 49ers had him in two offseasons, maybe it was last offseason, they had him in for meetings, then he just signed for more money with the Buffalo Bills. The post is all about that money. There's no doubt about it. Money first, money second, money third, everything else later. 49ers struggling to pay top dollar for a lot of guys, especially whenever you have seven potential Hall of Famers already under contract. That is the difficulty, right? Now, you look at what, you know, Joey's been incredible, third overall pick, unbelievable. But it's not just Joey Bosa, the family. They have four first-round picks in the Bosa family. Four first-round picks in the Joey Bosa family. His father, John, was also a first-round NFL draft pick out of Boston College back in 1987 by the Miami Dolphins. Did not have the NFL career of his sons. And then their uncle, Eric Kumaro, he was an Ohio State captain back in 1987, two-time Big Ten performer. I mean, he was a 1988 first-round pick to the Miami Dolphins again, picked 16th overall. Bosa, though, Nick Bosa, definitely the highest potential pedigree. He got drafted second overall, Joey third overall. The dad gets drafted, and the uncle, four first-round picks. That is unbelievable. I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet Franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Well, I like to say this. Nicholas John Bosa, shout out to Richard Sherman. Hope he has a 10-plus sack year. He's been very injury-prone. But here's the thing about Nick Bosa that I think a lot of people will miss. When Nick Bosa is healthy, the 49ers are dominant, period. When Nick Bosa is healthy, the 49ers are dominant. Not just the defense, not just the pass rush. The 49ers team, when Nick Bosa is out there, they are a championship-contending team, period. There is no debate. Now, I remember, raise your hand if you remember, the Quentin Williams versus Nick Bosa debates back in 2019. Some of you guys that have been around for that long, this is episode 1689 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. We used to argue these things. Now, I was hardcore. You draft Nick Bosa. I think Nick Bosa should go number one overall, but the Arizona Cardinals, thank you. They took can't ride roller coaster quarterback Kyler Murray. Did not work out for their franchise. Shocker. Nick Bosa falls to number two. He should have been the number one overall pick. But I remember those debates. I really, really do. And you look at that draft class, which is stellar, by the way. Nick Bosa has been, as advertised, just the injuries. We'll detail that in a little bit. But Nick Bosa is going into his eighth season, and he's only 28. Played in 85 games, 82 sacks. Dude averages a sack a game. The only flaw is the injuries. That's the issue. 168 quarterback hits. 2019 defensive rookie of the year. Came in red hot. 2022 defensive player of the year. Five Pro Bowls. Every single year he hasn't torn his ACL, he's been in the Pro Bowl. Two first team All Pros.
best player in the NFL defensively in 2019. The 49ers have only had three defensive player of the years in their entire franchise history. That's how hard it is to get that. Deion Sanders, Dana Stubblefield, and Nick Bosa. Needs 2.5 sacks to pass Charles Haley for second most sacks ever as a 49er. He's 25 sacks behind Bryant Young. Good old BY. Both those are Hall of Famers, by the way. Playoff insanity. This is the thing that I think separates Nick Bosa. It doesn't get talked about enough. What he has done in the historic 49ers playoff runs. 2019, the playoffs, he had 4 sacks, 5 more quarterback hits, 3 tackle for losses. 2021, 4 sacks in the playoffs, 5 more quarterback hits, 2 tackle for losses. 2023, he had 2 sacks, 12 quarterback hits, 4 tackle for losses. His worst playoff series was 2022. No sacks, 1 quarterback hit, 4 tackle for losses. But you're talking about somebody through 12 playoff games, which is a lot. 10 sacks in 12 playoff games. 23 more quarterback hits and 13 tackle. Like, when it matters, Nick Bosa is at his best. Nick Bosa in the fourth quarter, at his best. And we only saw a small sample size because he got injured so early last season. 2 of the 49ers wins, weeks 1 and week 2, were because of Nick Bosa in the fourth quarter, shutting down the game. That is when he is at his best. I am a huge Nick Bosa football fan. Now, I get a lot of people don't like his politics. I get it. Shoving that in everybody's face and, you know, wearing the hat and talking about it on the, like, I get that. Not everybody's cup of tea. No problem. But whenever he's on the field, the 49ers are damn near unstoppable. He is that important. Now, we had a comment yesterday. We talked about this a little bit. But somebody said, like, Nick Bosa's never getting the Hall of Fame. So, like, I did the research. This morning's been a lot of fun. I wish there was more of a audience for, like, nostalgic NFL comparing past and present. It just never does well. But, like, I love it. So, like, today I've been smiling nonstop because just diving through – looking at Nick Bosa versus other Hall of Fame defensive end edge players and, you know, Trent Williams, Fred Warner. I love that. So how does Nick Bosa stack up currently? And then also look at just what this looks like long term for the Hall of Fame candidacy of Nick Bosa. He has a 49.08, which is 43rd amongst edge players in NFL history. He's already had a, he has a higher monitor score than 2 Hall of Famers, Fred Dean, fellow former Niner, and Elvin Bethea. The defensive player of the year carries a lot of weight. All those Pro Bowls carry a lot of weight. The All Pros carry a lot of weight. He already has more quarterback hits than Justin Smith had in his entire career, Cowboy, John Abraham, and Dwight Freeney. More quarterback hits. Now, not sack numbers, but he does have more sacks than Hall of Famer Richard Seymour, who's already in. Same amount of Pro Bowls as Charles Haley, Willie Davis, J.J. Watt. Now, I know Pro Bowls don't mean what they used to mean, but that is still a defining criteria to get into the Hall of Fame. It is. Now, the most interesting thing to me, and I think the best thing on Nick Bosa's resume, is the Defensive Player of the Year. So I went through digging through, okay, when did the Defensive Player of the Year come out? It was back in the 70s. There have been 42 Defensive Player of the Years named. 24 of them are in the Hall of Fame. But it gets even better than that because 3 of those guys that have won Defensive Player of the Year is not eligible yet. And then some of the guys won it multiple times, so you take those away. It's really 24 out of 39, 57%. For a Defensive Player of the Year has a better than 50% chance of being in the Hall of Fame. It's a big deal. He's not in yet, and if Nick Bosa's career ends, let's say he has another tragic injury and doesn't really muster up another Pro Bowl, All-Pro year, I do not believe he will be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he'll get in. You add one more Pro Bowl year, one more All-Pro, get a championship, get some more sacks. I think Nick Bosa's on the verge of having a Hall of Fame-type resume. Not in now. One more year, he's going to have to wait. 2 more solid years. He's 28, guys. It is, I am a betting man. I'm not going to bet this because you'd have to wait a decade. I would be willing to bet that Nick Bosa will probably get into the Hall of Fame whenever it's all said and done. The name recognition matters.
I think he gets in. Now, I hope that he gets in because that would mean he has 2 to 3 more badass years for the 49ers, and he's under contract for a long time. The major issue with Bosa is always injury, so let's go through those. Back in 2022, he tore his ACL week 2. That's the thing, too. These injuries have happened so early in the season. 2020, his ACL tear was week 2. Last year, 2025, his ACL tear was week 3. So you didn't get to build up your stats for the season. That hurts him. They're complete lost seasons. 2024, he missed 3 games with a hip injury. So you've had 3 seasons of Nick Bosa missing, 2 seasons of missing completely, and then missed 3 games in 2024. So it is funny whenever people are like, oh, Nick Bosa's just always injured, which I get it with 2 ACL tears. That's very fair. But you look at the 7 seasons that he's played with the 49ers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons he's played 14 or more games. 5 seasons. Like, it's not like he's missing games every single year. That is not the case. Once, twice, 3 times he played in every single game. 2 seasons he's tore his ACL. He's been banged up. I get it. You know, different situations. It's just that those 2 injuries happened so early. And so then you're going through the whole season just being like, ah, no Bosa. Now, you look at what he did last year. Dude was badass. Only played 3 games. Didn't even finish the 3rd game. Had 2 sacks, 4 tackle for losses, 3 quarterback hits, 2 forced fumbles, 1 recovered in 2 games. Dude was crushing. Trent Williams said he looks better this offseason than he did last. It's pretty hard to, like, I understand that there is a camp that is like, dude, Nick Bosa's done. They should trade him. Can't trade players coming off of ACL. Nobody wants him. But whatever, with that contract, just couldn't do it. If you didn't want Nick Bosa, you'd have to release him. You couldn't trade that contract. But he's way ahead of schedule. The contract itself, he's entering year 3 of a 5-year deal. Now, next year, and this is a contract year for Bosa. What do Bosas care about? 1st, 2nd, and 3rd? Money. Money, 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 money. Well, guess what? He has a giant balloon cap that hits $55 million if left alone next season. Niners aren't going to do that. Bosa balls out. He gets extended. They add years onto his deal. Period. They're going to have to. If Bosa balls out this year and gets anywhere close to 10 sacks or over, you're going to extend him and add and kick that cap year down the road. You'll add 1 to 2 more years onto his contract. That is going to happen. I'm willing to bet that that will happen. He gets injured again. Doesn't look the same. Then you're kind of in that kind of cut, whatever category, but they're not, that's not a thing. It's not happening. Nick Bosa is currently the 8th highest paid edge player in the NFL. You're not taking 7 edge players better than Nick Bosa. And for those of you that just look at sacks, I get it. Maybe you could have that discussion. I would argue Nick Bosa is one of the best 2-way edge players in the NFL. He has led the NFL in tackle for losses multiple times. He is so damn good against the run, so damn good against the pass, at his best in the 4th quarter, elite, 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 3 elite years in the playoffs. What the hell do you, like, from a football standpoint, 97 is the shit, period. Off the field, don't give a damn. We're a football show. Do I agree with anything that dude thinks? Probably not. But when Nick Bosa plays, the 49ers win. When Nick Bosa plays, the 49ers win. And he's been rewarded handsomely. Already made $131.9 million. That is his 1st, 2nd, and 3rd priority. And he's cashed in. He is cashed in. All right, let's get to these comments on Nicholas John Bosa. I'm sure this is going to be fun. I'm sure people are going to be pissed. Yeah, but that's okay. Would Nick Bosa had come out at 20 years old in today's NIL world? Hey, again, Nick Bosa's made $131 million. I don't think he's complaining, but it's going to change things for sure. There's no doubt about that. Bosa promised the Cards they'd regret drafting Murray. He's already on another team, 100%. 100%. Right here, Doug, I'd take Fred Dean over Bosa. Completely different players. You know, Dean played that defensive tackle, defensive edge. You know, he was the outside guy, you know, on the line of scrimmage in the odd man front, which is a little bit different than a true edge, even though he did play true edge. So there's some hybrid stuff there. Notorious. Yeah, we have zero pressure up front when we don't have Bosa. Whenever he's out there, he's awesome. Where is Bosa not awesome? Yeah, thank you, Joe. Bosa gives exciting interviews. Ha ha. Dude, it's Eeyore. I swear to God, dude. Just Winnie the Pooh up there, just like, it's his personality to be who you are. But, like, yeah, those interviews, when Bosa gets behind the mic, I'm just like, oh, geez, man. Ask him one sentence questions. And the funny thing is, like, Nick Bosa puts off this. One of my closest, you know, coaching buddies, shout out Novak, just awesome dude. I mean, he's all up and down the Texas all-time record books. Played with Harrell at NS1 state championship as a wide receiver. Like, dude's a beast. Goes to Rice, one of the smartest guys I know. But he's like 6'5", it sounds like Nick Bosa. So, like, everybody just assumes he's dumb. Not dumb. Dude's one of the smartest people I know. And Nick Bosa fits that, too. Nick Bosa is freaking smart when it comes to football. The technique and studying and, like, he's all football all the time. It's just when he talks, it just comes out. The delivery is just like, whoa, what is happening? But anyway, do with that what you want. Logan, without Bosa, we might not have a pass rush at all, to be honest. Yep, that's what it is. Ben, like it or not, he's going to pass Bryant Young and be the all-time sack leader for the 49ers. There's no doubt. 25 more sacks. That's all he needs to pass him. I mean, if he stays healthy, you can do that in two. Right? I mean, you go back to 2021, 2022, he had 15 and a half sacks, then 18 and a half sacks, right? So, like, if he does that again, he passes. And the year after that, he had 10 and a half. That 3 year is badass, man. Following year, 2024, 9 sacks. He's going to be the record holder, and it's not even going to be close. It's not even going to be close. He's going to be. Notorious, yeah, I think Bosa will definitely be the 49ers all-time sack leader, too, barring a serious injury. I think even with another serious injury, he still can get it. Invader, Bosa's the only untradeable player on record. And then we're getting into the other stuff. Yeah, I'm staying off all that. But, yeah, like, I get it. And I understand a lot of people don't like him. And, dude, that's your prerogative. Ain't my job to do that. My job's talk football, right? Jacob, regarding Bosa's early season injuries, allowing him to start the next year at point. Yeah, 2020, injured, misses the entire season, but shows up ready, has 15 sacks. Can that happen again? Can that happen again? He's way ahead of schedule. I can't believe he was ready to practice at the start. I fully anticipated Nick Bosa being on the PUP list to start camp. Way ahead of schedule. Now he's missing time with soreness. Doug, why has he vanished because of soreness? Bosa's a private guy. Like, be who you are. I believe in that. And I used to tell my students, I used to tell my players, when people ask about starting YouTube channels, like, I'm here to help. If you want to talk, message me. Cool. I'll give you whatever advice I have. But I always say, like, be unapologetically you. Nick Bosa's not a public person. Nick Bosa's injured. He's hiding, dipping up in the booth or like in the club seats away from everybody. Fred Warner's injured. He's wheeling out a damn cart with a broken leg to high five every player coming in the sidelines. He's like in the locker room. He's giving speeches with a broken leg. Like, they're different. They're not bad. You want everybody to be Fred Warner. Dude, Fred Warner is one in a million. Like, they don't make that. Personality mixed with talent mixed with everything that he has, like, very, very different. Nick Bosa, he ain't doing public appearances. He ain't showing up. He's going to train on his own, which he's been around Santa Clara much more so this offseason than he has been in the past, and I think that's a positive. But, like, Nick Bosa vanishes. Like, he vanishes in practice. I'll be out of practice, and you'll see the defensive ends and D-lines working. Nick Bosa's over by himself in the corner, literally doing this with his hands and just, like, doing mental reps and, like,
That dude's just beautiful mind. You know what I mean? He's Russell Crowe-ing it way over on the side, drawing on windows. Like, he's just different. And so Nick Bosa's going to vanish. And if Nick Bosa don't feel right, like, you kind of have to give it to him with how hard he works and how meticulous he is with his regimen and what he eats and his training. He's the only player in the 49ers that still works out five times a week during the season. Nobody else does that. Nobody in the NFL does that. So, like, whenever you look at Fred Warner and his leadership personality, ever-present, have to be here, have to help, Nick Bosa's like that with working out and training and money, right? Like, and so that's just who he is. I'm not concerned with the soreness. I don't want him to be sore. I'd much rather him just be perfectly healthy. But we're 32 days away from kickoff. And this dude's already got a week and a half into practice. I cannot believe that happened. Yeah, Reese right here. I just hope his knees are healed and he could have another Pro Bowl year. Yeah, I mean, it's there. Five Pro Bowls, two All Pros. And God, I mean, it's just stacking for him. It really, really is. And so, yeah, anyway. Loves those Benjamins. I love it. The chat is awesome. There's no way I'm going to catch up now. Gnome, what's up, brother? Hope everything's going all right where you're at, man. Thank you for the super chat. John, you are the number one most important. Dude, thank you, man. I'm not even close, but I do very, very much appreciate that. Right here, Jacob Bosa will have a lot more help on the defensive line this year. I think that's huge. That should help him have a better season. Be nice for him not to be a one-man band whenever it comes to pass rush. I do agree. And yeah, he gets double, triple teamed all the time. Still makes plays. Notorious. Bosa is definitely a big-time player. Guys clutch when we need him. I agree. And the chokeholds that piss me off. Yeah. Dude. Yeah, it's rough, the attention and the lack of holding calls that he's gotten. But I think as we keep going, I think it's going to get better. I really, really do. And I think he's going to draw more penalties because his status has been elevated. I think that's going to happen. Now, we are back with my bookie. If you bet anywhere, gosh, you got to use my bookie. It works in California, guys. Come on. Football is back, ladies and gentlemen. And whether you've been betting for years or you're just looking to get into the action for the first time, MyBookie is where I'm playing. I'll be sharing some of the spots that we're on. And if you want to follow along with us betting every single week, weekly, season long, you name it, we post those at the49ersrush.com. Every single bet we do and on our Patreon channel, the 49ers Rush podcast. So, and that's the thing, you get a pick with my bookie, whether you just want to jump in, you want to bet props, you want to bet over under, you want to bet who wins outright, MVP, whatever sport, college football, NFL, doesn't matter. It is up on my bookie and they are ready to help you guys out. So if you're new to the club, here's what we're going to do. We're setting up a safety net. You get a bet back bonus. Your very first bet from $50 all the way up to $500. If you lose, you get it right back, plus a $25 casino credit. So sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers, 49ERS. Opt into our bet back bonus and take your first shot with a safety net. Football is finally here. Get in now and cash in with MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere. I bet in California, Texas, doesn't matter where you are. You can use MyBookie. Let's go. Let's go. All right. I'm mad about the next one. I'm mad about all these because they're all top three. And then you get a player that comes in number three, and I'm like, nope, that's wrong. That is wrong. But we got to do it. The standard. The best coverage linebacker in the history of the NFL. Number three most important 49ers for the 2026 season. Fred Warner. I don't like it. I'm mad. I mean, the dude is just so great. He's so great. He's the best. Dude breaks his leg and gives a halftime speech. What the hell, man? Are you kidding me? Like, that is, Hollywood couldn't write that. Fred Warner being number three pisses me off. Ugh. And it's my list.
It's our list, not my list. Shout out Ben, Josh, Zach. Y'all have to take accountability for this ranking too. Fred Warner should be higher. But whenever you get to number two, it's like, okay. And you get to number one, you're like, okay. So many greats on this team. Dude, this roster is good. This year was hard. Going through these players, 1 through 91 was hard. Was very difficult. And we got a lot wrong, obviously. And we're going to get a lot wrong every year because it's just the way it goes. Injuries, players rise, players improve, players drop, whatever. Oh, I love Fred Warner. Leader of the defense, gives the halftime speeches. When Shanahan has to make offensive adjustments, he tells Fred Warner, address the team, give a speech at halftime, on a whim, walking into the locker room. Fred, you got the team. What? Lives in Santa Clara, just stays at the facility. Dude lives at the facility, trains everybody. Fred Warner, side note, we had one of the coolest moments. Fred Warner is so badass. Like I'm convinced when Fred Warner retires, he's just going to be, I don't know if I'm still going to be doing the Rush road trips, but like Fred Warner's just going to travel with us. Like I'm convinced that's going to happen. I don't know if I'd be able to afford that, but like we had him out at the draft party in Vegas for 1 year and dude just showed up unapologetically who he is, wearing cutoff shorts and flip flops and met with everybody, signed everything, was incredible, pictures with everybody. And, like, you hire these players for time, and he finishes, you know, the agreed-upon contract, payment, all that stuff. And he's like, do you mind if I just hang out for a little while? Yes, Fred Warner. And I look over, he's just talking to my son, my eldest son. He's just talking to him about life. Didn't know he's my kid. Comes over, hey, man, can I announce some of these giveaways? Yes. Dude was just... I don't know, man. They say don't meet your heroes. I say bullshit. You meet your hero, and they don't live up to the standard. They shouldn't have been your hero to begin. Fred Warner should be everybody's hero. Dude is, salt of the earth, man. Like, dude, just, And I saw this. I just saw this. Jacob, RIP Don Nelson. And I'm a Mavs guy, dude. Like, Don Nelson played a very important role in my childhood, right? Like, it's like Don Nelson, George Seifert, that type of connection. And then he left and destroyed us with Golden State, which, I didn't even make that connection. One of my least favorite basketball memories of all time, Don Nelson leaves the Mavs. I'm pissed off. Goes to Golden State. Golden State with the first ever playoff upset, 8-1. Y'all remember that shit? Y'all do, because most of you guys are Warriors fans. I was destroyed. I was destroyed. RIP, man. I wasn't going to bring it up because I was like, man, none of my listeners are Mavs fans. I didn't even think about the fact. Dude coached for the Warriors for a long time, man. RIP. Impacted my life in a very positive way. That hurts, man. Lost a good one. Lost a good one. RIP Don Nelson, man. It puts it into perspective. Like, I had somebody message me yesterday, and I apologize. I forgot who it was. It was like, man, do you remember Joe Montana days? I was too young, but, like, do you remember? And I was like, yeah, I do. I remember, like, 2 to 3 years where Joe Montana – because, again, I became a fan, you know, at the end of 1989. I was – what was I? Like 8 years old, 8, 9 years old. And so I got a couple seasons with Joe, but not, like – I don't remember Joe like everybody else remembers Joe. And so, like, we talk about these players, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, Brock Purdy, all these guys, George Kittle, and it's just like, man, these are going to be those guys. Kyle Shanahan's going to be somebody's Don Nelson. You know what I mean? Like, Fred Warner's somebody's Jason Kidd or, you know, Steph Curry. Like, those things, like... We are here now. We're talking 2026, but there's going to be a moment where there are young kids that are going to look back and be like, man, I remember being a kid and meeting Fred Warner. Like, the memories that we have of these guys, and that's what's so beautiful about being the faithful, the greatest fan base in sports, faithful then, faithful now. We've been through some shit. That is sports. But we also live in a time where you get to see 54 put on your team's colors and go play football. What the fuck else do you want? Like, I get it. You ain't got a championship. I get it. Shut the hell up. Maybe not shut the hell up. But, like, you get to see Fred Warner play. That's poetry in motion, ladies and gentlemen. That is beauty. This guy is the platonic form. Let's get philosophical here. Like, the idea of the picture-perfect linebacker is Fred Warner. He is the standard. There is before Fred Warner linebacker playing, there is after. And he's still playing. Every single linebacker that comes out for the NFL draft is held against Fred Warner. Can he cover? Can he be great versus the run? Does he have leadership? Can he play all the damn time? Like, the measuring stick for what it means to play linebacker in this era is Fred freaking Warner. He's changed. The position ain't going back. It's not. I wore 54 way before Fred Warner. I'm older than him. Shocker. He's 29. Fred's not old. 6'3", 230. He's 29 years old. 29! Oh, I freaking love this man. Went to BYU. California kid. Warner went to Mission Hills High School down in San Marcos. He's the oldest of three siblings. He has a brother and a sister. Started playing football when he was seven. Stud in high school. Corner and safety. He was a coverage guy. Makes sense, right? Caught the attentions of BYU's coaches after a diehard BYU fan and family friend sent Warner's highlight tape to the coaching staff. That's how they found him. They offered him a scholarship, was roommates at BYU with his younger brother, Troy, who played cornerback as well for BYU. Jumped around some practice squads. Troy didn't really catch on. Warner became the full-time starter as soon as he drafted. Week one rookie starter. Hasn't looked back since. Week one rookie starter at Mike. What? What? Absolutely ran with it. And just, he's the best. He's the best there is. Ultimate leader. Heart and soul of the team. Him and Kittle, right? Offense, defense. But like, dude, Warner is greatness. We get to watch that dude play football. He was drafted in the third round. You got him in a throw-in pick of the Solomon Thomas trade. And a big reason why I don't flip out about the Solomon Thomas pick as much as everybody else is because you got Fred Warner out of that. You got two third-rounders for falling back one thing so they can get Mitch Trubisky, and you turn one of those into Fred Warner. Yeah, it would have been awesome if you still drafted Patrick Mahomes and whatever else, but awesome. You go to that 2018 draft class, which is a badass draft, by the way. He's the fourth most popular player or most valuable player in that draft class, according to Pro Football Reference, their AV score, their approximated value. He's behind Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Roquan Smith passed him barely this year with the injury because Fred didn't get to play that many games. But he's going to pass. Roquan Smith's awesome, by the way, but he's not Fred Warner. He's not Fred Warner. He's not Fred Warner. Fred Warner is way better in every way, shape, and form. And Warner's the only player from that draft class with four first-team All-Pros. And to put it into perspective, new teammate Brandon Parker, you know, the offensive tackle, the backup offensive tackle, was drafted five picks ahead of him. Not trying to throw shade at Brandon Parker, but this just shows you what you can get in the third round. You can get a backup tackle, you can get the best linebacker in the NFL. That's why I think I get so pissed off whenever the 49ers just keep drafting kickers, wasted tight ends, and running backs in the third round as incredible reaches. It's like, dude, you could still get greatness. Quit throwing those damn picks away. Kalen Black hopefully breaks that mold, whatever else. And again, little egg on my face, I wanted Malik Jefferson, the Texas off-ball linebacker. I thought he was going to be the next whatever. He kept falling. I was like, what is happening? Please draft Malik Jefferson. He was still on the board. They took Warner. I was pissed. Malik Jefferson in and out of the league, bounced around. He was done in 3 years. Like, but the 49ers couldn't have known. If you knew Fred Warner was Fred Warner, he would have went in the top five picks. Quarterbacks and then Fred Warner. That's what it would have been. And Fred Warner's going into his ninth season. 121 games, 121 starts, almost 1,000 tackles, 38 tackle for losses, 30 quarterback hits, 10 sacks, 7 fumbles recovered, 17 forced fumbles, 56 pass breakups. What? Dude's like a corner out there, man. 10 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, 10-year wall. He's going to be on the all-decade team. It's going to be there. The Fred Nader, I mean, Warnereen. The Standard is my favorite nickname for Fred Warner because everybody's measured against him. Redefine the position. You remember my favorite Warner play. I was there in person for this. Playing against the Cowboys in the playoffs in Dallas. Warner's, this was back in solid, I think it was 2019. Maybe it was 2021. I don't know. Might have been 2021. Might have been D'Amico. This is where they would do that show blitz where he would walk up in the A-gap and act like he's blitzing. Well, he's in the backside A-gap, acting like he's blitzing, right? It's third and long. Cowboys snap it. He's the will, so he's got to wall the number three backer to the opposite side. He's in the A-gap across the center's face. He's got to wall the number three vertical. That's C.D. Lamb running a seam route. Fred Warner's a yard off the line of scrimmage on the other side of the center, gets there, gets the pass breakup, 40 yards downfield. Niners win the game by one possession. Like, dude, one of the greatest plays. Running step for step with C.D. Lamb, 40 yards downfield, and he's lined up in the opposite A-gap. Like, one human in the world can do that. One. One. Oh. Gets Dre Greenlaw back. I think that's huge. You look at, you know, 4 first-team All-Pros, 4 Pro Bowls. Now, let's do it. Let's do the Hall of Fame monitor. All right. Now I'm excited. I hope y'all are. Dude, I hope y'all love this. This is fun. I'm having a really good time. If you're not having fun, I apologize. Dude, this is greatness before us. Ugh. All right. His Hall of Fame monitor score, again, this is a Pro Football Reference, you know, metric. It's flawed. But it's the best out there, in my opinion. He has a 51.78 score. That is 24th all-time for linebackers. This dude's still in his 20s. Now, he's not currently ahead of any linebackers. There are not that many off-ball linebackers in the Hall of Fame. He's closest to Sam Mills, who just got in and had to wait a long time. And he'll pass Sam Mills this season. Every linebacker in the NFL with at least 4 first-team All-Pros, this pissed me off. Every off-ball linebacker in NFL history with 4 first-team All-Pros, they're in the Hall of Fame, except one. And it's my second favorite 49er player of all time, Navarro Bowman. He is not in. And Navarro Bowman's a little bit of an outlier. He's only started 84 games. You know, he had the injuries, started a little late. You know, and kind of tapered off because the injury's so fast. He only had started 84 games. There is no linebacker in the top 70 of this Hall of Fame metric that started so few games. Navarro Bowman will probably get in at some point. I mean, there's guys in the Hall of Fame with 1 All-Pro. Navarro Bowman's got 4. Every other linebacker that has 4 or more is in. He'll get in eventually. It's just going to take a long time. I could see him being one of those guys like 20 years from now that gets in, and he should. I will argue Navarro Bowman at his height was the greatest linebacker season of all time. Like, and I get it. Patrick Willis came in the best, stayed the best, but that one season of Navarro Bowman, dude, that was best. He should have won Defensive Player of the Year. Anyway, whatever. All right, let's talk Fred Warner. Fred has more first-team All-Pros. Listen to this list. He has more first-team All-Pros than all of these guys. Sam Mills, London Fletcher, Tommy Nobis, Matt Millen, Teddy Bruschi, Chris Spielman, Willie Lanier, Harry Carson, Hardy Nickerson, Sam Huff, Randy Gradishar, and Ray Nitschke. Like, he's in elite territory. Now, Fred's in. He's going to get into the Hall of Fame. But there are a lot of guys that are ahead of him that are not in yet. Demario Davis, London Fletcher, Leroy Jordan, Carl Mecklenburg, Hardy Nickerson, Navarro Bowman, Bobby Wagner. Those are guys that have a higher score currently that are not in yet, that are waiting. Now, you get one more All-Pro guaranteed in. Well, one championship guaranteed in. I think looking forward for Fred Warner, you're looking at, okay, which linebacker has the most all-pros, first-team all-pros in NFL history? That's the conversation I'm having internally for Fred Warner. There's two guys with seven all-pros, first-team all-pros all time, Mike Singletary and Ray Lewis. Fred's 29 years old. You mean to tell me he can't get three more all-pros? And before you answer that, you look at last year, before his injury, 93.2 overall PFF score, 91.3 run defense score, 91.5 coverage score. All of those are top two at the position. Like, dude was elite, elite, elite. Now, his injury happened, and here's the positive. This dude was fully practicing, ready to play in the NFC Championship game if they won that game in Seattle. They didn't, obviously. But, like, he has been ready to go. Fred's Fred. He's out there breaking running back's ribs, going for the ball. Calm down with that one, Fred. But, like, Fred is Fred. And I was a little worried. Like, man, dude, leg was facing the wrong way at Tampa Bay. It was the worst I felt all season. I felt worse at that Tampa Bay game than I did at the Seattle game. He got blown out. Like, that was just different. It had all these Bucks fans turning around and apologizing to me. Like, dude, we're really sorry. Like it was weird. I've been around injuries before. Fred's different. The degree of injury was different. And, like, that was the low point. That was the low point of the year. That's how great this man is. Opposing fans on the road turn around apologizing to me that our player got hurt. Multiple. Like, that was the feeling in Raymond James Stadium was, find a 49ers fan and apologize because your team's somewhat responsible for hurting greatness. Like that, yeah. Like, how often does that happen? Right? Like, it was just, I was floored because it happened. And I'm just like, oh, devastated. And all these people keep saying sorry. It's just like, I get it. Don't talk to me. Don't make eye contact. anyway, now. That's the only injury in his career. He missed one game before that. One game. One game in nine seasons before his leg was facing the wrong way. Played six games last year. Was unbelievable, by the way, the whole time. Signed a three-year, $63 million deal. $83 million is his career earnings, which for off the ball linebacker is awesome. He keeps redefining what that position looks like in terms of how you measure it on the field and how you pay it, right? It's freaking Fred Warner. Oh, I'm so behind in the chat, guys. I'm so sorry. That's my Fred Warner spill. Let's get to some comments. Let's see. Yeah. This is going to be the longest episode I've ever done, and I'm okay with that. Yeah, the Predator right there. Hey, Steve, Fred should be number one. I have no qualms with that. Yeah, I'm so wrong. Fred Warner, my best draft pick, but I had him taking him in round two. There we go. Man, Invader knows draft like nobody's business. Invader's a freaking man. I really appreciate you. Let's see here, right. Notorious, I guess us making the playoffs and getting a win hurt the Warnerine on this list. Not so much. Fred is the linebacker one in the NFL. Yes, yes, yes. Notorious, if we had made the NFC game, Fred come back, I'd have put Fred at number two on the list. That's awesome. Santiz, what's up, man? Don't see your name in here a lot. Welcome, welcome. Fred Warner, best NFL player on the planet. He should be number one. I have no qualms with that. None. None, none, none. Fred going to have the most forced fumbles in the league by the time he retires. Dude knows how to punch the ball out. Yeah, hurts you if he loses the peanut punch. There we go. Man, dude, the chat is awesome. Dude, I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Yeah, sorry about that. Chappers dropping F-bombs. Just got serious. Yeah, sorry about that. I apologize. People like it whenever I curse. I try not to, and I use the curse words purposefully to show, like, the passion, but I try not to do it too often. I apologize if you have little ones in the car. I really am sorry. I really am sorry. Oh, dude, so many in here. Been wanting a Warner jersey for a while,
maybe this is the year. Dude, it's time. Like, and, you know, you get jerseys sometime, and the player leaves or whatever else, and then you don't want to wear the jersey anymore. There's nothing Fred Warner could do that would make me warrant not wanting to wear that jersey, right? At all. Like, oh, dude, so good. Oh, he's so good. Oh, we got people arguing about jerseys. I love it. You guys are the best. I love it. Oh, I freaking love it. Man, I'm very thankful to have this opportunity to talk about these guys. And we're not even done. All right, we're down to two. Brock Purdy, Trent Williams, Trent Williams, Brock Purdy. What is the order? You guys got to throw it in the chat. Who's number one? Who's number two? Let's find out right after this.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
I got to put this comment in the chat. Hope I don't get backlash for this. Bucky, Fred could punch a baby, and I'd wonder what that baby did to deserve it. It was carrying the ball loose. That's what it was doing. But yeah, we're not pro bunch punching babies on this show, but beautiful comment from Bucky there. Now, who's number one? Who's number two? Brock Purdy. Brock. Brock's number one. Purdy one. Brock. Invader says Williams two. Purdy one. Purdy one. Ooh, Reese says Williams one. I love it. Yeah, we've got, you know, James saying CMC would be one, Fred two. Love it, love it, love it. Number two on the 2026 49ers roster countdown, the best left tackle to ever put on a uniform, any uniform, Trent Williams comes in number two, who is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. We're doing the Hall of Fame watch with a lot of these guys, right? Trent is automatic first in. And there is no call. You know, he has the most Pro Bowls for any tackle ever in the NFL. Ever. Ever. Just 12 Pro Bowls. 12. Like, Spinal Tap would be jealous. This one goes to 12, and he's not done. The most ever. The best left tackle to ever play. Now, Trent Williams, his number rankings, 2022, he is third on this list. 2023, second. 2024, fourth. Last year, three. This year, two. We were getting into the area of Trent's missing, you know, 3 to 5 games a year, and that kind of hurt. Last year, Trent was, I would argue, Trent played better last year than he did the previous two seasons. So damn good. Where's jersey number 71? 6'5", 320. He's 38 years old, guys, when the season starts. 38. Whew. Played for the Sooners. Only negative about him. Born and raised in Longview, Texas. Lobos. Honored in his hometown, Longview. The Trent Williams Day. And Lobos have a pretty rich football history, to say the least. Yeah, if you watched the Hall of Fame game, you saw Haynes King. Like, that was the same school. His dad's a coach, won state championship. I saw them play on that state championship run. I remember I was at, I think it was Mansfield Timberview versus Longview. It was in the Cowboys Stadium. It was a state semifinal. Longview's offense was so damn good. Mansfield quit kicking off the ball and started onsiding it in the second quarter because it was just a race to whoever could score the most points. Like, you just couldn't stop them. Like, our defense is not going to stop them if they have to go 90 yards or 40 yards. So we're just onside kicking it every time. I was like, what? And this is a semifinal state championship game. But anyway, Longview loaded with talent. Trent's the best of the best.
Trent's done so much. He's partnered with Nike, donated over 1,000 shoes to kids. He does this almost every single offseason. Gives back a lot to the community. Best friends with Adrian Peterson. Two were teammates at Oklahoma, and they co-own a gym in Houston. I've known people that worked at that gym. Like, nickname is Silverback, and even got announced as Silverback by Roger Goodell whenever he got drafted. You can go watch the Silverback documentary. Goes through Trent Williams' scare of, you know, he had the sarcoma on the scalp and cancer and surgeries, fighting with the Washington franchise. It was terrible, man. It was just god-awful what he had to do. The worst franchise, worst owner ever, Snyder and all that BS. And Shanahan's were there. They're the ones responsible for drafting him in the first round. It just got so bad. And, you know, they're suing each other and all that stuff, and he's basically going to retire unless they trade him. Well, the 49ers throwing their hat in the ring with the third and a fifth round pick and robbed the Washington franchise. Minnesota Vikings offered a second, but Trent said, you trade me there, I'm retiring. Dude, chicken, Trent Williams going to win, period. Contract negotiations, Trent Williams going to win, period. Niners got him for a steal. The two players that the Washington team got, Keith Ishmael and Benjamin St. Juice. 49ers got Trent effing Williams. Ugh. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Now, Trent's talked about 2027 next season. He anticipates being his last year. And the 49ers, in the recent thing, they even put in a holdout clause because Trent cares about money, man. He holds out all the damn time. I think you can go back and count 5 separate times Trent Williams has held out into training camp throughout his career. Like, he's gotten every single penny. Yeah, you look at the combined amount he's been paid. Where is it? $242 million career earnings. The highest for any non-quarterback in NFL history. Like, dude's different. He's just different. And paid rightfully so. And he's the most respected player probably in the NFL right now. Not just the 49ers, but like, Trent is different. Drafted by Washington, then Redskins. 4th overall in the first round. Best player in that draft by a mile. Ndamukong Suh's number 2 overall. There's only 3 players still in the NFL from the 2010 draft class. Trent Williams, JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, and Brandon Graham. We'll see if JPP and Brandon Graham hold out. Now, the 49ers never had a shot to draft Trent Williams, but let's go back to a time. I'm just going to tell you the players the Niners drafted. It wasn't a bad draft class by any stretch. It was a good draft class. But it's funny to me. Mike Iupati, Taylor Mays, Bowman, Nate Byam, Kyle Williams, Anthony Davis, what's up, Booby, and Phillip Adams. Put that into perspective with how long Trent Williams has been playing. He's going into his 16th season. Ugh, 204 games played. I mean, he's played 13,617 snaps. 12 Pro Bowls, most ever for a left tackle. 3 first-team All-Pros, all happened with the 49ers, by the way. 2 second-team All-Pros, just part of the Washington Commanders all-decade team in the 90s. His Hall of Fame monitor score, okay, here we go, 77.28, 19th amongst tackles. Already ahead of current Hall of Famers, Dan Dierdorf, Jimbo Covert, Jackie Slater, Winston Hill. He will pass Tony Boselli and Orlando Pace this season. You're talking greats. 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 Most Pro Bowls ever for a left tackle. Championship or another Pro Bowl, and he's guaranteed first ballot. I think he's first ballot anyway. We'll have to see what that class looks like. But, like, probably first ballot. Probably first ballot. You get one more Pro Bowl, All-Pro, Championship, whatever. Guaranteed first ballot. Like, I don't give a damn if you've got Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice. This dude's getting in first with all of them. I don't give a damn about the draft class. That's how good he's been. The injuries, 2020 missed 3 games. 2021 missed 2 games. 2022, 3 games. 2023, 2 games. 2024, 7 games. Last year, missed 1 game and got injured on the very first play, week 17 against the Bears on that pick 6, chasing it down. You remember that? Just so badass. Listen to these PFF. Like, last year was a great year for Trent Williams. 91.1 overall grade, 92 run grade, second highest in the NFL. Pass pro, 80.3. Like, there is some, he's not as good as he once was, right? 38. But he's still top five left tackle guaranteed. Like, I don't care. And the funny thing is, you look at all the new contracts that are going out, and I love seeing linemen get paid. He's currently the fifth highest paid left tackle. You're getting a value for what the play that's out there. Can Trent Williams play pick up where it was last year? If it can, which he looks good in training camp, only for a couple reps a day. He only gets 20 reps every single day at training camp. That's it. It's there, man. Like, Trent is still Trent. And gosh, that's awesome to be able to see that. Ah, silverback gorilla. I freaking love it, man. Ah, big Trent. Love all the things. Love me some Trent. People are really, really upset. Tommy, of course you did. It's what it is. Never forget his body slams. Yeah, not as much of that anymore, but whatever. Trent's mad. There isn't a fine or a referee or anybody that can get out of the way. He's going to slam somebody. Yeah, he's going to slam somebody. Look at this, Logan. Yeah, we're going to dive into that one. I don't want to do that now. But yeah, Trent Williams, crazy. Yeah, let's make him our kickoff returner. I wouldn't want to tackle him. Dude can run, man. Even Trent's mediocre performance is better than most left tackles in the league. Yes, no doubt about it. Yeah, he's so freaking good. I love it. I love it. Oh, I freaking love him. All right, number one. There can only be one. It's the most important position in the NFL. It's the most important position in pro sports, in my opinion. Quarterback, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. Love Brock Purdy, man. His rankings, which I hope we don't just have Brock Purdy first all the time. He was 78. His rookie year, 2022, he was 78 on this list. Gosh, jumped up to four, but then you had that injury, and so that was kind of weird. That was coming off the UCL. One in 2024, one in 2025, one in 2026. Brock Purdy, man. And even in a year where Mac Jones stepped in and was awesome, Brock Purdy came back and showed this is why he's the quarterback. Like, it was just obvious. Just keeps winning playoff games. Dude won a playoff game on the road, Brock Purdy, with DeMarcus Robinson as his number one wide receiver. Against not one but two all-pro corners and one of the top defenses in the NFL in the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, I get it. Wins are not specifically just a quarterback stat. I understand that. But I'm going to call BS to all the haters out there because it's just like, dude, DeMarcus Robinson was his number one wide receiver. DeMarcus Robinson's 32 years old. Against two all-pro cornerbacks. Oh, the Brockness monster. I love that. Glock Purdy. Dirty Purdy. Yeah, most underrated quarterback in the league. And I get it. He was the last pick of the draft. Niners got lucky as hell, man. Where's number 13? 6'1", 220. 6'1's generous. 26 years old. Brock Purdy's a baby still. We have rookies older than Brock Purdy. The punter, Jack Baumeister, is older, the rookie, than our quarterback. We have two rookies that are 25 years old. Like, I went and started looking. Yeah, I'm gonna hold off on that. Now, Brock Purdy played at Iowa State Cyclones. Born December 27, 1999 in Queens Creek, Arizona. Middle child of Sean and Carrie Purdy, who I've met and are awesome, as advertised. For somebody to raise Purdy to be the way they is, sometimes the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, in a positive way. Sean was a minor league baseball player for 8 seasons. Yeah, that translates. Older sister Whitney played softball at Southeastern University. Younger brother Chubba played all over college football. Florida State, Nebraska, Nevada. I think he's done. I don't know. Everybody's suing for extra years. I'm not sure. But I think Chubba's done. Didn't make it to the NFL. Didn't get drafted. Not on a roster. Brock Purdy played quarterback flag football league as a youngster. His dad attributed Purdy's later success to faster processing speed. It's a big deal, man.
I would argue the two things that make Brock Purdy as great as he is, and I love this is not in the notes. I would say diagnosing pre-snap coverages and making quick decisions. Like, those are the two things. And you put those together, that's his superpower. Now, Brock Purdy's first NFL game, first NFL start, not the Miami Dolphins game. I think it was the Bucs game where he beat Tom Brady in his first NFL start. Like, come on, storybook. Good God. He misdiagnosed a safety blitz pre-snap and got his ribs broke. No wonder he's figured out, all right, we've got to figure this out pre-snap. If not, I'm going to get my ribs broke. But that's what it is. And his dad says, you know, playing flag football, you got to get the ball out in 4 seconds. They count it. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, blow the whistle. Like, it forces you. Make your decision. Get it out quick. Purdy has stayed in press reference. You know, he's talked all about his faith big time. Very, very loud proponent of Christianity. And he wears jersey number 13 because his dad's favorite player was Dan Marino. Dan Marino, like your gloves, buddy. They're isotoners. Brock Purdy gets picked 262. Mr. Irrelevant in the draft. Nobody ever picked last in the NFL draft has ever started a game in the NFL, regardless of position. Brock Purdy is now the franchise quarterback. Oh, my gosh. There's going to be a movie. There's going to be a movie. No doubt about it. Starring Timothy Chalamet. Mr. Irrelevant. most valuable player in 2022 draft overall. Last pick, most valuable. James Cook, Derek Stingley are close behind him, but they're not going to catch him. Only quarterback that worked out of that entire draft, Sam Howell, is the second best quarterback out of that draft class. Going into his fifth season, this will be his fourth season as the week one starter. 53 starts, and just has been so badass. I didn't write this down. Let's see here. What is his overall record as a quarterback? It's pretty badass, by the way. Come on, man. Give us his... There it is. His quarterback record is 30-15. That's a 2-1 win-to-loss percentage. That's 10-5 every year. You look at his playoffs, he's 5-3. You win when Brock Purdy is the quarterback. It's very, very simple. 13,000-plus yards passed for, 67% completion percentage. 92 touchdowns to 41 interceptions, above the 2-1 touchdown interception ratio. And some of the critics, yeah, he has gotten pretty turnover. The turnover ratio could be improved. Greedy Purdy the past two seasons is definitely a thing. Like, he wants big plays, and he'll put the ball in jeopardy to get them. Rush yards, this is one of the things that just extends drives. 786 rush yards, 12 rushing touchdowns. Getting to see the Dougie that's out there. Anticipation, escapability, his quick area burst. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. 4 playoff game-winning drives. He's played in 8 games. Half of them, he wins it at the end. Already more playoff wins than Dak Prescott and Tony Romo combined for their careers. Maybe my favorite stat. Suck it, Cowboys. I hate the Cowboys. Pro Bowl in 2023. I think he was 5th in MVP voting that year. NFL passing rating leader in 2023. No Hall of Fame monitor score yet. He's 26. But you get a ring, maybe an All-Pro, keep stacking those numbers, then we'll see. Definitely not a Hall of Fame conversation yet, but being the last pick in the draft, doing what he has become, start stacking those numbers. He's 26, guys. He's younger than Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence. He's got so much time to build. You look at him in 49ers history, he's currently 9th in passing yards all time for 49ers. But this season, if he just plays like 10 games, he's passing Colin Kaepernick, Jimmy Garoppolo, Alex Smith. He's passing all of them to be number 6. You look at passing touchdowns, he's 7th, could finish the year as high as 4th. He's 26. This is how old quarterbacks come out of the draft right now. This dude's going in his 4th year starting. Now, injuries, Brock Purdy, a little bit of an issue. 2023, concussions, had some issues, neck stingers. You know, then he had that torn UCL. That was huge against Philly in the playoffs, but came back and started week 1.
2024, shoulder strain week 11, elbow bruise week 17, sat out a meaningless week 18 game. Last year had the turf toe injury. Brought him back too soon. Mac Jones got hurt, so now your backup's hurt, so you push Purdy to come back early. This health and fitness staff is terrible. Gets re-injured. Finally returned week 11 and just showed how badass he was. Oh, he was so good last year. Now, he signed a five-year, $265 million deal. He's made some money, $49.3 million so far in, you know, his career earnings. That's going to start to just shoot through the roof. He's the 15th highest paid quarterback at its current state. It's already a value deal. It's already a value deal. Like, people getting upset every time somebody pays a quarterback, but, like, all the new quarterback deals surpass him. He's the 15th highest paid quarterback as is, and he's got freaking years on top of his contract. He is signed all the way to 2030. This dude's got five more seasons under contract. Now, there is a balloon payment in cap. The cap shoots up to a $56.9 million cap hit in 2028 season. It's basically a built-in restructure. This is Jalen Hurts was the first contract to do this, to where you're just building these restructures into the deal. Started with Patrick Mahomes. The Eagles took it a whole nother level, and we're just saying, dude, there's a guaranteed restructure at this point. Brock Purdy's going to be a 49er for a long time. With the way quarterbacks are playing until they're 35, 36, whatever, who knows? Brock Purdy could be amongst the league leaders NFL history-wise in several categories. You look at just last year, the 49ers were on pace, most passing yards per game, and that's with Mac Jones and Brock Purdy there. Like, touchdowns per game, passing to, like, the sky is the limit. Now, potential, we'll have to see where that goes. But in the words of Kyle Shanahan, I want Brock Purdy to be the quarterback for this team as long as I am the coach. Brock Purdy is the guy. And for those of you that are still not on the Brock Purdy freaking wagon, what the fuck you waiting on, man? Like, come on. There's two categories. There's people that understand Brock Purdy is the quarterback for a very long time, and then there's non-smart people. Which one are you? Really? I'm the guy that does his job. You must be the other guy. Like, come on, man. Like, Brock is the guy. Brock is the guy. Atomic, how many Dougie dances is he doing this year? He did it in practice the other day. The Layer King. I do like that name. I do like that name. Yeah, Reese, I just don't understand the Brock hate. I get it from a national media, you know, correspondent level, because you put out your draft takes all the time, right? And this is the best draft quarterback, and this is. Nobody rated Purdy. I was one. Even after they drafted Brock Purdy, I went back through his tape, and I was like, this ain't it. I was wrong. I don't know why people can't say you're wrong. Like, the draft is like a 50-50 crapshoot for first-round quarterbacks, let alone seventh-round quarterbacks. Everybody was wrong on Tom Brady. Everybody was wrong on Brock Purdy. Even the 49ers were wrong on Brock Purdy. Even the Patriots were wrong on Tom Brady. If you were right, you take him in the first round, not the seventh. You got luckier, but not luckier than everybody else, right? You got it less wrong than anybody else. That should be the way in which we talk about it. You were less wrong about Brock Purdy than everybody else. But guess what, Kyle Shanahan? You were still wrong about Brock Purdy. Everybody was. You were just less wrong than everybody else. I was wrong. Period. Yeah. What's up, V? He will never get enough love from the NFL as a whole, but Brock is elite and perfect for this team. You got to win a championship. You got to get an all-pro. You got to get MVP. You do those things, it ain't going away. And I, like, okay, this is going to go down a weird angle. But then you see guys like Joe Burrow. I love Joe Burrow. Here it is. Anytime John Chapman says he loves a player, you're about to get the biggest butt ever. But Joe Burrow has had one great year, and it was great. His teams have won more than nine games, what, twice? Like, his teams have losing records all the time. He has the best wide receivers in the NFL. Yeah, the offensive line ain't bad. Brandon Thorne just ranked the Bengals offensive line 16th. That's average, with the best wide receivers in the NFL. Like, I don't know, man. Like, people hold on to certain narratives and don't let it go. There is Joe Burrow's awesome. He's very, very good. And if you put Joe Burrow and Brock Purdy and you get 32 NFL GMs and you ask them which quarterback do you want, I'm going to probably say 25 quarterbacks would choose Joe Burrow. But whenever you look at the careers that Joe Burrow and Brock Purdy have had, it is night and day difference. Brock Purdy is the better quarterback. It just is. Now, combine that with Shanahan and whatever else. Dude, Joe Burrow's throwing to fucking Jamar Chase and Higgins. Brock Purdy won a playoff game on the road against one of the best defenses in the NFL with DeMarcus Robinson as his number one quarterback. Tony Stark built this in a cave. Like, it's not the same. It is not the same. But because Joe Burrow, what he did in college at LSU, number one pick, and he's freaking Macaulay Culkin and all those different things. I'm just saying, these are two narrative builders that people are wrong on. I'm not saying Joe Burrow's bad. I'm saying what he has done collectively through his seasons, through his career, do not scratch the surface of what Brock Purdy has done. Period. That 1 year for Purdy was for Burrow was awesome. Not the same. Just not the same. Atomic, look at this Arizona represent. Yeah, I love it, man. Dude, Brock Purdy's the freaking man. Best anticipatory thrower in the league. Love it. MVP Purdy. Dude, he's fifth best odds to win MVP. He's getting respect from Vegas, just not the talking heads. You know what I mean? And that's okay. All right, here, I think the Brock Purdy movie should be played by Billy Bob Thornton. He'll be the dad. I love it, man. I'm quite happy. Yeah, Joe, that Brock is our quarterback. Screw the haters. There are channels out there that you should go listen to. Anyway, yeah, I love it, man. Love it, love it, love it. Oh, the chat is just freaking fire. There's no way I can catch up. There's no way. Oh, Geronimo over on Twitch, appreciate you. If Purdy looked like Burrow or Herbert, no one would say anything about it. He's awesome, man. Oh, he's so freaking good. And I was at that Miami game. Well, yeah, I've shared this story a handful of times. Whenever Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, I threw my hands up. I was so pissed. I was like, oh, time to go get some beers. I go get some beers, and, you know, I'm paying for them. I'm coming back with beers for all my buddies. I'm carrying, like, way too many. I remember because I grabbed a random guy and said, oh, no, he's with me, so I could get two more beers for my friend. Shout out to that guy, legend. And I'm walking back, and, like, everybody starts cheering, and I turn around, like, oh, nice. And I keep walking up. I had a long walk. Everybody starts cheering again. I'm like, oh, nice. It just didn't stop. Oh, gosh, man. Love Brock Purdy. So, this is the end of the 49ers roster countdown series for 2026. Whew, I'm tired, boss. I'm wore out. The amount of time it takes for this, but I love it. We're going to keep doing it. I cannot stop doing it. I don't know of other people that do it the way we do it. And I know some of you guys like it. They're my worst rated shows. They're the worst. I make the least amount of money on these shows. I don't care. Yeah, I freaking love it. Love you guys. Ugh. Y'all are the best. I'm very thankful to have this time with you. An hour and 21 minutes in, solo show, ending it right. Ending it right. You guys are the best. We'll be back with practice reports, all kinds of different stuff. Tomorrow, next 2 days, 4 days have practice. It's going to be a lot of fun. Until next time, thank you so much for spending time with us. As always, stay strong, faithful.